outside?
There's no kind of atmosphere.
We're not alone.
More or less.
Let me fly far away from here.
In second thoughts, it took us ages to actually get here. And Flossie's handed out some nice woolly jumpers, so how about we settle down and just do the news thing?
Cone of shame? Not for Alvin. It's a fashion statement.
Mental environmentalist descending Zamka.
It's time for 69. The too hot, too messy machine trundles on.
War? What war? Fort Mug is the bastion of muggery and stands undefeated.
The highs and lows of Hutton Systems.
There was mild concern amongst truckers in the last few days after Alvin was admitted to the infirmary and was being kept under observation. It appears that whilst his handler Snoz was conveying Alvin back to the orbital for an inspection, their executive transport came under attack by a marauding pirate after all those tasty treats. Alvin, never one to hide behind security systems, upon docking, noticed that the pirates had managed to secure landing pad 2 and promptly activated his collar-mounted remlock, exited the ship at speed via the steps, and launched himself between the pads. The waiting Momus Bog Spaniel security detachment scrambled to keep up, but by the time they reached the pad, Alvin had already apprehended the pirates, torn holes in the seats of most of their flight suits, and had one pirate cornered by the refueling outlet, growling most menacingly. Unfortunately, a stray shot from a panicked pirate penetrated Alvin's protective suit and left him with a bit of a sore spot on one flank. Rumours are that on anyone else, it would have left a hole clean through. But Alvin's tough. Though he protested via his handler, Snoz, that he was fine and all he needed was a bit of a belly rub, and if no one minded very much, he would be very partial to a sausage or two, he was taken to the infirmary as a precautionary measure. Always one to be one step ahead of the bleeding edge of fashion, he chose a fetching new collar style for his recuperation period, which has the added benefit of stopping people patting him on the head and saying, there, there, or biting at the damage to his flank, which he'd never do because he's such a good boy. Snoz is said to be coping well after the security incident and has undertaken to get some extra training in zero-G hand-to-hand combat operations from Rampage. Any reports about him saying silly hound under his breath are flatly denied. Anyone wanting to send well wishes, dog treats, get well soon cards, or more dog treats can do so via the Hutton Sorting Office, Level 2 West Wing, near the gin distillery, where there's been a special postbox set up. Leowulf has increased security patrols around the orbital, and any approaching truckers have been given carte blanche to turn any approaching pirates into bounties with extreme prejudice. And lasers.
The Galactic Conference of Parties, or GCOP, got into full swing this week. Hosted over at Zamka Platform in Jaws Pantazis, it brings together representatives of various galactic powers, mining and technical corporations, and industries to discuss the problems of climate change. Back on Earth in the Sol System before the days of interstellar travel, and given that we only occupied one world that we were in the business of ruining, this conference was important. With the advent of space travel, the discovery of many thousands of Earth-like worlds, the speed at which we've populated and then polluted new worlds has accelerated tenfold, but not quite as quickly as the speed we've been able to terraform new ones. Which means that unless you're a local with no access to space travel, most of the problem gets swept under the carpet. There is a core of environmentalists, however, who feel that humanity has a duty not to ruin alien worlds, even if we stuck a flag in them and claim them as ours. Bertha Bergberg, activist, eco-warrior and regular arrestee around the galaxy, gave what she felt was an inspiring talk about the exploitation of natural resources in other worlds, at which point the representative from the Empire sent in their personal protection team to cause a little trouble as they felt personally attacked regarding claims of their use of whole planets as their playground for digging up diamonds, gold and other precious metals purely for ostentatious purposes. Which of course is all actually true, but they don't like pushy eco-warriors shoving it down their throats in front of the cameras. A number of side meetings and resolutions are expected to be presented in some statistical analysis of space dust and whether the polluted space lanes are a direct result of the activities of one Alex Zuno in nearby Hazarez sites, as well as some space vacuum quality studies of the areas around the Titans, working out whether residual green cloud dissipation is affecting native life on planets. As is usual, we fully expect no consensus to be achieved, with the vast majority of those attending representing the kinds of political interests and industrial lobby groups that make loads of money out of exploitation of natural resources, but Hutton are at least delighted to be playing host, not least of which as the location Zamka was a major refinery operation, and showing off to all those companies can only be good for business. It has been suggested that a number of worlds in Hutton space be designated factional green belt and preserved undeveloped, where trees and wild grasslands can be protected. Rumours that it's because Alvin likes nice places for walkies are entirely untrue. Well, they're true. He does like walkies and trees, but he also has a conscience and doesn't want the next generation of Hutton truckers to grow up in a galaxy where they have to fly to Kelowna to get away from the smog, or live in an agri-dome.
Week 69 of... Stop sniggering in the chat there. Week 69 of Too Hot, Too Messy saw commanders collectively pass the 110,000 mug deliveries. Numbers are still good, with a third bumper week of over 1,500 deliveries, and the four-week average is still above 1,600. This week saw the 100,000th previously unvisited station added to the total from when we first started this madness, and 60,000 of them are through Too Hot, Too Messy. Commander Chicks has managed to rack up 20,000 deliveries, with Waller 81 in second pushing 17,000, with Damon third on 8,400. Well, it's a busy week for traffic to the orbital too, mostly from Too Hot, Too Messy commanders refilling their holds, and so Operation Smack is in effect. There are cones out and lanes closed all along the orbital ring road. Repair crews are filling in some potholes they found in the fabric of spacetime. Instead, everyone seems to be taking a direct route to Hutton and stopping off for a pee break. My advice would be to take a small ship so you'll have a better chance of getting a landing pad quickly, otherwise you'll have to hold it in. Or you could just go in the airlock and flush it. But if the traffic wombles see you, then you'll get a 50 credit fine for yellow eye slittering. Below is a list of people you can pass the blame on to. Commander Palantir has been playing the game, really? Palantir? Well, I did actually see that Palantir has now got 52 mugs closely. Ooh, I think 21 is on 59 mugs, a bit closing in there. Anyway, Palantir did the hunt and run in 1 hour, 24 minutes, 22 seconds, which is the fastest this week and is not far. It's 2 minutes off the total anyway. Myopic Eagle 3 did it in 1 hour, 25 minutes, 5 seconds. Talky Mouse, 1 hour, 25, 44. Norbert Patternoud, 1 hour, 26 minutes, 56 seconds. I think a pee break must have been involved in there. And Steve the Red on 1 hour, 27 minutes, 15 seconds. I think there were two pee breaks involved in that one. And Steve King, last of this week's hot runners, of 1 hour, 28 minutes, 19 seconds.
We are delighted to say that disaster has been averted over at Fort Mugg, thanks to the sterling efforts of Hutton pilots, including Admiral King Hankey, Clone the Third, Edge 38, the Biscuitier Wing, and local forces from friendly factions. The initial assault on Fort Mugg was repelled, and incoming forces were sent home with their tails between their legs. There may have been a bit of overdoing it a tad, as reports have been coming in that we rather overshot the mark, and having won the war, have increased influence in the system from a paltry 17 and a bit percent to the heady heights of the 50s in a matter of 24 hours. Putin administration have sent an urgent woe there to everyone, as without slamming the brakes on, it's entirely possible that Hot Coal will enter an expansion state, and then Admiral King Hanky Clone III will need to go to one of the other local factions with an apology letter for straying on their grass. As for the Baden responsible for all the trouble, no, it isn't Nogbad the Bad. There's been no sign of them since the conflict started, though we're pretty sure that his claims of being able to take any system he wanted and that Putin hadn't got a clue how it all works were the kind of BS that makes roses grow nicely. The Hot Coal team and Fred Federico from Fort Mugg will be keeping a beady eye on things locally over the next few days, and if there are any signs of trouble, the Mugg signal will be lit once again. In the meantime, thank you once again to Truckers and their allies for stepping into the breach and for not falling in up to their chins. We promise that the breach will be filled in by the pothole prevention team soon.
Things are going through somewhat of a festive party vibe in Hutton Space this week, so expect little getting done through the hangovers, the unbridled sexual tension, and general frivolity. There are six systems on Alvin's report, two of which are particularly low, and just one needing a well-aimed truckly boot up the posterior. More on those stories coming up. 36 Offayuki is the bearer of the wooden spoon for 3 weeks in a row, again by a narrow margin of just 2 points. Losing 9 points in the week, it managed to outplummet the next system by 2 whole points, coming to rest on 26. An election between 3rd and 4th is locking up a third of influence, but that could be over in just a couple of days with a landslide for the Seoul Workers' Party, which would catapult them into 2nd. Ross 671's influence trajectory has taken on a brick-like quality, and it sank a further 7 points to land on 28, only outworsted by 36 Offayuki. The good news is that all the influence is on the table, but with a closely packed field just below us, it won't be long before the jockeying turns into squabbling and our room for upward manoeuvre becomes limited, so get in there now and boost Hutt's fortunes. Recovering nicely until yesterday, Narensis had made a quick recovery from its recent war, but another squabble down the table has dragged it back onto Alvin's report on 34. Only 15% of system influence is tied up, so there's still plenty of scope to do a bit of boosting. Barnard's star dropped a point to 35, but despite the parlous state of the other factions, their influence is all up for grabs, so let's kick them while they're down. Joining Barnard Star in 36 is hard to move Epsilon Indy, which lost 3 points in the week. Lastly, Hillpass Psi is bimbling along on 38. Civil unrest has broken out in Stein 2051, so if you fancy duffing up desperados, trifling with terrorists, or rousting some rebel rousers, head over and put a bit of stick about. At the overachieving end of the Hutton Systems table, we have 7 of our systems above 60%, 3 of which are over 70. Priorities this week are, if you want to truck something, boost Hutton in Ross 671, and if you want to shoot something, bring order to Stein 2051.